So good to have the presence of the Lord, to feel the presence of the Lord, and to know that He is here with us. Amen. A lot of good things happening. It's good to see each and every one of you. Welcome to Calvary this morning. Those that are tuning in live, it's good to have you as well. Just want to remind everyone that we are relaunching our Saturday morning prayer. It returns this coming Saturday, March the 6th, right here in the chapel. It begins at 9 a.m. Also, we're trying to relaunch in stages. I don't know how successful we have been, but we're certainly working at it. And that means that there's opportunities to serve with the kids' church relaunch. It says here, we have an immediate opening for a Playscape servant leader for the second service. I think I've announced that about three or four times. I know that God has spoken to someone. Amen? And the next time he said lightning was going to strike, I don't know if that means anything. No, I'm just teasing. You know that. We also have immediate openings for more servants so that we can fully relaunch the first service as well as into the second service on Sundays. And it says today they'll be conducting a survey to relaunch our Playscape, whether or not masks will be required. So when you go to the Welcome Center, speak to the attendant that's there and participate in this survey. Also, Resurrection Sunday, April the 4th. You know, we're just a little over a month away from Resurrection Sunday. Isn't that amazing? This is the last day of February, right? Yeah, tomorrow's March the 1st. My goodness. Listen, here's what we're planning tentatively, and we're really trying to check a month in advance on the weather forecast, and this happens to be Texas, if you know what I mean. So here's what we're hoping to do. We have to let our outside workers, this company that would be using by March the 5th, to sign the contract, okay, for our outdoor service. One outdoor service on Easter Sunday. I don't know what time it will begin, 10 or whatnot, but just a glorious, wonderful time. You can bring your lawn chairs. You can sit in your car and take your mask off in your car, however you want to do it. And it's just going to be a great time. Amen. We need a celebration. Yes, we do. We need to have a celebration. And in the midst of all that that's happening on Resurrection Sunday, we're also going to be baptizing. So if you've not followed the commandment of the Lord to be water baptized, there are sign-up sheets in the lobby, or you can certainly call the office or go to the app and sign up for that as well. So hope you do that. Also, it says here we have praise band openings. You can email Jesse at loveneverfails.com. And also, there are free books in the main lobby. Today is the last day that they will be out there. So check it out. Grab what you want. They're all free. With all that being said, yesterday, Blanca, Gavino's wife, was involved in an automobile accident. The update I just received early this morning from Gavino is now they have decided to admit her to the hospital. So why don't we open our service and let's lift her up. Amen. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory for just you being with us, your wonderful presence, your direction, your guidance, your love, your joy, your incredible peace. And Father, we are indeed your children. We are privileged to approach the throne of grace, Lord, by the name and the only name, the name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask right now for Blanca, just be with her, Gavino, the family, Lord, and let there be a supernatural peace upon them. And whatever affliction or whatever's happened in this automobile accident, Lord, I pray, we pray, not only is she healed, but she goes home from the hospital today. So, Lord, just be with the whole family. And, Father, all those we're praying for Mary Lancaster and Carol and Kathleen's mother, Lord, all the people we are lifting up, knowing that you are there, even if we don't feel that you're there, by faith we know that you are. So, Lord, somehow, some way, as you always do, I look only to you this morning. Help me to teach your word, Lord. Help me to teach it not only faithfully, but accurately. And let me hear from heaven. Let me hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Bring all things to my remembrance, Lord, for you know I need that. We love you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians. We're in chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Let me read our text to you this morning. Paul the Apostle, writing from prison, he says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." Say that with me. Work out your own salvation. How do we do it? With fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring or complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. And yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. And the church says, amen. You know, if whenever you have a break like we did from the weather, and you, it's easy to lose the continuous spirit in a book that you're teaching. Do you know that? We don't want that to happen, because Philippians is a great, great epistle of Paul. It's been called the epistle of joy. And as we return there, remember that we left off with Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the command where it says, let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we covered that in verses 1 through 11. The last time we were together. So it's important now, how do we actually apply the mind of Christ? And we're going to have three examples next Sunday, the Lord willing. But right now we're going to look at just those verses that I read to you, and they are so vital and they are so important. How do we truly work out our own salvation? How does that happen? And a lot of people get confused on that word, working out your own salvation. I thought I was already saved. Well, we're going to answer those questions this morning. Let's begin now in verse 12 of chapter 2. Paul again says this, therefore, meaning since we are to live and act like one man, meaning Jesus Christ, we just learned that in Philippians 2:5, we never want to live below our calling, amen? He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Now, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own, everyone say own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, Paul is writing from a prison cell. You know that. I know that. He's in chains, okay? And he's chained to a guard. And he says, therefore, my beloved. Beloved is a word that is only used for believers in the Word of God. Aren't you glad that we are accepted, Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the beloved, which is Christ Jesus our Lord? That Jesus, or rather that God the Father loves us just as much as he loves Jesus, his own Son. Boy, that should bring great peace to us this morning, that God loves us, and we're working out our own salvation with that fear and that trembling. And so Paul says, you know what? I'm commending you, man, for you're always obedient to the Lord. But you did so when I was in your presence. Now I'm not in your presence anymore. I'm in prison. So he says this in a sense, you cannot lean on me. Does that make sense? You cannot lean on me. I cannot lean on you. Do you understand? We can love one another, support one another, but I cannot do something, Paul is saying. I cannot work out your own salvation. Neither can we. Amen? In other words, I can't go to another pastor and let him work it out for me. Or I can't go to another believer. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, I'm in prison. I'm away from you. I'm absent from you. He says, it is time now for you to continue and to continue to mature and grow up. And he tells us how to do that. Look at the verse. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The word work out is in the Greek is just one word in the Greek, okay? It's a great, great word. It literally means to work out to full completion, or to bring to work to the ultimate conclusion in your life. It's like working out a math problem. 2 + 2 is what? This side did not. Okay. I'm going to just look at you this morning, okay? No. It's 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't equal 5. You've brought it down to its conclusion. So we are to work out something that we now possess, the free gift of salvation. Now listen very carefully. If you don't get what I'm about to say now, you won't get the rest of the sermon. It's this. It doesn't say work for your salvation. Get that out of your hearts right now. No, you are to work out what now you possess, because salvation is a free gift. You've believed in Christ Jesus. You are now a born-again believer. Amen? You are now saved. So work out you being saved is basically what he's saying. In other words, we are to bring out to the ultimate conclusion, to the very end of our salvation, which is one thing: Christ likeness. Now, in Paul's day, that word "work out," it meant they used it to like working a field to get the greatest harvest that's possible, or to working a mine. In other words, you get all the silver and you get all of the gold out of the mine, every bit of it, but you have to work to get that. Amen. Well, that's the same thing with salvation. Listen, salvation is a free gift, but it's not, you have to unwrap it. And the way that you unwrap it is that you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, listen carefully. This is not talking, when it says salvation, this is not speaking of our being justified or justification. Justification, remember, Romans 5:1, therefore now having been justified in Christ, through the blood of Jesus and so forth, having been justified, having been declared innocent. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So justification is not a feeling, it's a fact. It's a one-time thing. It's a judicial act of God where he declares the believing sinner righteous in his eyes, just as if he had never sinned. And then imputation takes place. Remember that big word, imputation? It means to take what belongs to someone else and bring it over, and now it belongs to you or put into your account. So now you stand before God in the spotless, sinless, perfect record of Jesus Christ. God has declared you innocent, and no person can ever declare you otherwise. Amen? Boy, that's a good word, loved one. Listen, and that's what that word means. So it's not justification. The word salvation here means sanctification. Sanctification is not a one-time act. Sanctification is an ongoing process by where the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And what does he do? He produces Christ-likeness in your life. It's sanctification. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he foreknew, meaning God, God also, listen carefully, predestined. That word predestined means to mark out beforehand. When did God mark us out beforehand? Before the foundation of the world, amen? Ephesians 1:4. So it says, for whom he foreknew, he knows us. Praise the Lord. He knew us before we were ever born. He says, he also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. That's sanctification. The word predestined is not an ugly word, loved one. The word predestined is only used of believers. It is never used for anyone that is lost. So God, this is such good news, God has predestined us to our ultimate conclusion, or to arrive at a certain destination. And what is it? To be conformed into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, listen carefully, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, here it comes, are being, it's an ongoing process, are being transformed, it says, into the same image, meaning Jesus Christ our Lord, from glory to glory. And then the agent of this transformation, it says, by the Holy Spirit of God. So justification is imputation. Sanctification is a matter of transformation. We are going from glory to glory to glory, but it's into the image of Christ. Amen? Is everybody with me? No. No one's with me. Okay, praise the Lord. I've just talked to the media booth. They're up there. No. Look at it again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, bring to the ultimate conclusion or work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Now, listen very carefully. That is probably one of the most troubling verses, the way it ends, the fear and the trembling. What are we to be fear and trembling? What are we to do? What, over what? There's two things I believe that the Lord is showing us here. Number one, we should be trembling with fear if we fail to work out or bring to the ultimate conclusion what God has done in us. Amen? Boy, that's a terrible thing. But the main reason, listen to me now, I don't know how to even teach this part. I was even at the back there in our worship, I was thinking, Lord, how do I even say this? You know why I fear and tremble? You know, not that I'm going to fail to work out what God has placed in me, because he's going to bring it to the ultimate conclusion, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith, amen, and your faith. But what it means here, it says, with fear and trembling, why? And it says, for it is God who works in you. Listen to me. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord. Man, Christian, listen to me. Is that scripture too familiar to you? Oh, God, he's working in me. No, listen. The only true and living, supreme, supernatural creator, sustainer of all things. Think about it. The one who dwells in unapproachable light. The one who created the earth. Light being light was. Amen? Listen. He says, I who created all things, I am working in you. That should bring every believer to their knees. And it's also, it should make us walk in humility. Why? Because God is working. When I look at me, when I don't know, I'm not talking about you. I just take me. I go, oh God, why would you even want to work in me? Do you understand? To have, now that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God says, oh, no, he is working in me. Now listen carefully. The word in verse 12 for works, okay, we have two different Greek words now. Verse 12, remember that word means that to bring your salvation, your own salvation, all the way out to its ultimate conclusion, which is Christ's likeness. But the word in verse 13 for works, we get our word energy, meaning that God's divine enablement is working in us. Totally different Greek word. And I say, oh, Lord, that is unbelievable. See, Philippians 1:6, remember being confident of this, that he, meaning God, who began a good work in you, will what? He'll complete it. He will finish it. He will bring it to its ultimate conclusion to the very day of Christ Jesus. And I think, man, God, you really are working in us. You're working in every believer. The Bible says, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. It wasn't empty. It wasn't wasted. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, meaning all the other apostles, all the other teachers. I labored more abundantly than they all. Now listen to what Paul says. Yet not I. Paul says, I'm working, but not I. And he says, but it's the grace of God that was in me. Amen? And see, that's the way it is with us right now. So Paul knows it's not his power. He knows it's God's power. Listen, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling is not, it doesn't arrive by self-effort. You understand? You can't do it. What did Jesus tell us in John 15:5? He says, without me, you can do some things. No, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing that'll last in eternity. Without me, you can do absolutely nothing. But see, you have to work. We have to work. For example, can you tell when a person goes to the gym, you know, say 3 months later, and you go, wow, what happened to you? Can you tell they've been working out? Okay, well, let me ask you a question then. How in the world can you be conformed into the image of God, and how can you have the mind of Christ without you working? You have to renew your mind. That's something you have to do. You're already born again. You're already saved, but now you're working out your own salvation by being obedient. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? So we have to be renewing our mind. That's our work. But the fact of the matter is, it's God that's working in us to make us do that. Because I want to do that, don't you? Yes. Have I confused you? Okay, good. Now, so it is God who works in you. The Bible says in Jonah 2:9, it says that salvation is of the Lord. It's never of man. It's a free gift, loved one. So the God who made us alive, we who were dead in trespasses and sins, the reason that you defeat the devil or you go out and defeat the temptation or whatever it might be happening in your life is because God is working in you. Whenever you love someone and you in the flesh, you don't want to love them, but you go ahead and you love them, why do you do that? Is it because of you? No, it's God working in you to love that person. Why? Romans 5:5. The Lord, what does it say? That God has, this hope does not disappoint, but God has poured out his love, his agape, into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Amen? That's the reason you love. Why do you forgive when you don't want to forgive? Come on. It's because God is working in us. Oh, and I think, oh, Lord, you're so good. Why do you pray? And if you're not praying, you're in trouble. Why do we pray? Because the Holy Spirit, Romans, what, 8:26, right in that area, is working in our lives. Man, listen, God is working, and anything that is good that is happening in us and coming out of us is not from us. It is from God working in us. Amen? Because he's taking us from glory to glory. That's that process of sanctification. That's what this is speaking of. Listen to 2 Peter 1:3. It says, as his divine power, it's a lengthy reading, by the way, so bear with me, as his divine power has given us all things, meaning everything we need that pertain, number one, to life, number two, to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, meaning these promises, that you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust, meaning God is working in you, that he's doing his part. Now, we are to do our part and work out our own salvation, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, in other words, make every effort. Now you're starting to work out what God has given you. He says, add this to your life. And he lists them off: faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and so forth and kindness. All those things, loved one, come from God working in our lives. Amen? Now, the God who called us is the God who enabled us, and he is the God who has given us the power. So we have to work out what we have received, meaning we have a responsibility to grow in Christ's likeness. Now watch this. For it is God, verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure, not our good pleasure. Amen? God knows what's best. Phillips' translation puts it this way: for it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and giving you the power to achieve his purpose. We have all the power that we need because God's power is infinite. Amen? It's unlimited. Loved one, listen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, 3:20? That God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the what? The power that works where? In us. And the purpose? Let me read the purpose. It says, to him be glory in the church, that's us, loved one, by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Paul says, amen. Listen, we are to manifest the glory of Jesus. Amen? We're to acknowledge his glory, we're to manifest his glory, and we're to make Jesus known. And we cannot do that unless we're working out what has already been given unto us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power, meaning God's power, may be of God and not of us. So verse 12, the Bible tells us that we have a responsibility to work out our own salvation, fear and trembling, bringing it to its ultimate conclusion. But then in verse 13, it tells us how that happens. We have divine power or divine enablement. So we are to now to work out what God has worked in to our lives. You know, listen, why is it that many in the church, especially today, they fall short of this incredible truth and promise? The Bible tells us in verse 14, look at it. It says, do how many things? Do all things without complaining. Aren't you glad? See, remember, if I'd have preached this last Sunday, remember? the ice storm. Did you complain? Listen, I could wrote a novel. Yeah, now it's a race because I repented. Yeah, do all things. Everything that you do as a Christian, everything you do in this life, no matter what it is, it says do it without complaining. Do it without complaining. Think about that for a moment. He says do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, that word complaining means murmuring, okay? In the Greek, it would be speaking in a low tone under your breath. Does that, you know what I mean? In other words, complaining under your breath. You know. Now, it says do all things without disputing. What does that mean? Arguing. Constant, that attitude, just arguing all the time. So murmuring or complaining and disputing or arguing, or is it with one another? Well, we know we're not supposed to do that. But no, it's not with one another here. This is murmuring against God. This is arguing with God. So in other words, when it says do all things, that is not an option. That's imperative in the Greek, which means it is a command. Do all things without complaining, without murmuring, without arguing. So in context here, it means everything that is connected with your mind, your own salvation, that free gift from God. Listen, the Christian life is an adventure. And there are times I know that God takes us places where we do not want to go. But we have to go there because we're in training for reigning. Amen? We are. We have to grow up. And sometimes affliction and hardship and persecution and all those things, they actually work for us, not against us. Amen? And so here, God's saying, no, this is a command, loved one. And, you know, sometimes we don't want to yield to God. We want to complain. We want to murmur, you know, oh, Lord, why this and why that? And believe me, I don't do that so much now. That doesn't mean I've arrived, okay? But I did it a lot when I was younger. Man, I was a whiner. Not to man, but to God. Lord, why this? Why? But you know what? I wouldn't take anything that God allowed me to go through because he went through it with me. Amen? Purging this, purging that, shaping me this way. In other words, bringing my salvation to its ultimate conclusion, which is Christ's likeness. Now listen very carefully. Murmuring and complaining is actually lack of faith. Did you know that? And lack of love. You know, I remember, you know, I will never forget this. It was the first week that the church started. Remember you that were here over in the old building on the west side of Fort Worth. And so we were small and didn't have a lot of helpers. I don't think, the beginning, we didn't have deacons or anything. And so I got to the church early that morning. It was a Sunday morning. And, man, it was cold. You can't believe how cold it was. And my cheeks were red. And the wind was blowing about 100 miles an hour. Not really, but you know what I mean. And so I looked at the back of the church. There's a big fence. And I looked back there, and it was covered with paper, you know, from trash, from the car lot next door. So the Lord spoke to my heart, go pick up all that paper. I'm the pastor. No, no, I didn't say that. And I'm going, Lord, you see this stuff running down my nose? It's cold out here. You know, I said, I'll pick it up. I knew it was pick up that paper. I go over there, all right, and I walk over there, and I start picking up that paper and picking it up all the way along the fence line. I picked that one up, and all of a sudden, I looked down, it was a $20 bill. I picked that paper up all the way down. I mean, I even went across the street. You see, did you know God rewards you when you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? He wants that. The Holy Spirit's greatest desire is to produce Christ-likeness in your life. But murmuring and complaining will stop your progress into Christ-likeness. Do you understand? Because you're fighting with God. Oh, you don't want to do that. Listen, here's what I've learned. Our Father in heaven is incapable of doing anything wrong, unkind, or unfair to me. God is love. Amen? So we don't want to do that. See, we want to be very careful about murmuring against God and complaining against God and arguing with God, because we don't want to be like the children of Israel. You know what I mean? Those people, the first generation, did they complain? Did they murmur? They murmured about everything. Water from the rock, you know, manna from heaven. They didn't like the leadership. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They didn't like the food. I want the leeks, the onions, the fish, and bad breath and all the other stuff that goes with it. No. Man, they were always complaining. Oh, there's giants in the land. We're just a bunch of grasshoppers or insects and so forth. Listen, the first generation, those murmurers and those complainers, did they make it? No, the first generation, they died in the wilderness, loved one. It says in Psalm 106:24, it says, then they, the children of Israel, they despised the pleasant land or the promised land. They did not believe God's word, but complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Can you imagine the Shekinah glory of God, the cloud by day, pillar of fire by night? There you are in your tent. You're looking out whether it's day or night, and the presence of God is with you, and you're complaining. The visible presence of God is with you, and they were complaining. And you know what? We have the presence of God with us right now. God is working in every believer to bring about his purpose and also to bring us, as we work out what we're to do, our own salvation, to its ultimate conclusion. If you want to stop Christ-likeness in your life, if you want to stop going from glory to glory, complain. It stops you. It'll stop you flat. I mean, you will not progress at all. Can you imagine Paul the Apostle? What if he had complained while he was in prison? Do you think he would have ever written Philippians? He'd go, this is a stinking dirty place. I'm chained to a Roman guard every day. You understand? He never complained. He said, oh, no, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. No, remember what Paul said about his chains? He said, oh, my chains, they are working out for the furtherance or the advance of the gospel. Man, the whole palace guard, they're hearing the word of God. It's gone all the way into Nero's household. See, the things that we are in our life is literally, if God's working in you, he's working in you the purpose that he needs. Amen? Sometimes we go through hard times. Sometimes we have people that lie about us and gossip about us and persecute us and all those things. But I'm telling you, we've overcome the world. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you know, did Jesus ever complain? Well, I guess I have to leave heaven. I'm going to be born a man. Did he complain? No, it was the joy that was set before him. That's us. He, you know, I mean, listen, if I'd have been born in a feed trough, I'd probably had to have counseling for 5 or 6 years. You know what I mean? If I'd have endured what he endured on the cross, think about this. He never complained. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, listen, we're to have the mind of Christ. We're to act like one man and think like one man and react like one man. That's what we're to do. The Bible tells us, it says, do all things again without complaining and disputing, arguing with God, that you may become, or literally that you may prove or show yourselves, number one, blameless. You're not a phony. You're the real deal, okay? And harmless. In other words, you're innocent. You're pure. The word, I think, means unmixed, okay? You're 100%. You love the Lord. Why? Because you're children, it says, of God, without fault. In other words, without a blemish. All your blemishes and spots, mine, they've been taken away by the blood of Jesus. Amen? It says, without fault. And here we are in living, even this moment, in the midst of a crooked, that word means diseased, it means wicked, a crooked and perverse, a twisted people, a twisted world. It says, perverse generation, among whom you shine, I love that, as lights or like stars in the world. Now listen, we are the children of God. We are working out in this world, in this life, our own salvation with fear and trembling. And as we do that, we are being watched by a world of lost people who love darkness and do not love the Lord. But they're watching you. And since they're watching you and God is working in us, then we need to be what? Ephesians 5:1. We need to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Amen? That's who we are to be. We're to shine. We're to be the light of the world. We're to shine like you can never believe, man, in a midst of a perverted world and a dark, dark world. And the more that you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the brighter you shine. You know, the more, you know, it's, do you ever notice if you're not getting enough of the word, how weak you become? Boy, it's so important. I get very upset when I'm the word where I just can't just, for myself, not to prepare a sermon, but just for Bill, you know? It's important to feed ourselves the word of God. The Bible says in Matthew 5:14, it says that, you know, we are the light of the world. We're the only light this dark world is going to see. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, it says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night, nor are we of darkness. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness. Thank God we're not anymore. And now you're the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Think about it. We are the offspring of light, and that's God's light. He says, do all things, that command, all things without arguing, murmuring, complaining with God. Everything connected with your salvation to bring it to the ultimate conclusion. Don't argue with God, you know, because God is working in you to do something. He's working in you to make you the light of the world. The light of the world has no, we have no place to murmur, do we? Do we? No. No, loved one, listen, he's working in us. Can you imagine the salt of the earth arguing with God? Hello, it doesn't make sense. Or, you know, the ambassadors of Christ. Here we are, we're unhappy with what God has done. Listen, you are a gifted people. God is working in you. You know, I'm standing before you. I'm a pastor, teacher, and if there's anything good that comes out of this mouth when I'm up here, it's not Bill Quinn. Do you know that? That's a gift that God has given me. However, I have to work out that gift by prayer, by study, by rightly dividing the word. Does that make sense? I have to spend time in the presence of God. That's working out my salvation. Each of you have a gift, and the more you allow that gift to operate in you, it's God who is working in you. Amen? And then the joy. There's nothing greater than to be used by God, whether you're bringing someone to Christ, or you're giving someone, a believer, a word that brings such encouragement to them, or if you're a teacher of the Bible and whenever you're up here and you know that's not me and you know God is speaking and you enjoy it more than they do. Do you understand? It's incredible to know that God is working in you. So here we are, we're all filled with the fullness of God, loved one, and it says we are to work out, and not only that, look at verse 16. It says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, there at the Bema seat, okay, the judgment seat of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. In other words, I want to see lasting results with you Philippians and, of course, with us as well. So holding forth, that means to take the word of life. Number one, you keep this in your heart. Amen? But number two, now that you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you now hold forth this word to people that are lost. This is the word of life. Amen? Listen, The word of life is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And I think, oh, Lord, you're so good. The word of life, this book, do you know it's living? Hebrews 4:12, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It's powerful. It's penetrating. Jesus said this in John 6:63. It is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he says, oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news, for it, meaning the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation, the dunamis of God, the energy of God, to everyone who believes, to the Jew and to the Gentile. Loved one, listen, the word of life tells us this. We used to be dead in trespasses and sins, but we're not anymore. We've been made alive. We're sitting with Christ in the heavenlies. Amen? The word of life tells us that a man must be born again. The word of life tells us how to live this life. And that's what everybody wants, is how do you live this life? Well, loved one, Jesus said, I have come, in John 10:10, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Paul says, yes, and I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service of your faith. Now, Paul is saying, even if I die now, even if I'm martyred, of course, we know he wasn't. It was the last imprisonment. But he's saying, even if I lose my life, he said, I'm glad. I'm sorry, guys. I'm glad and I rejoice with you all. He says, for the same reason. You know, allergies are, I wonder how many more times I'm going to say that on a Sunday. So when I do that, just you say allergies, okay? Thank you, Father. All right. Now, he says, even if I'm going to lose my life, he says, I'm glad. I'm going to rejoice with you all. Pardon me. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul now is saying, you know what? I'm ready for my whole life to be poured out as a drink offering. That's where you would, in the old covenant, you would pour the wine out over the sacrifice, but all completely. Paul uses that word sacrifice, the same word that he uses in Romans 12:1, where Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And that's exactly what Paul did. You know, when you look at all just this short little section that we're in, you know how important it is for us to work out our own salvation, loved one, with fear and trembling, because it is God who is working in us. Amen? You know, I think that we should be rejoicing that God is working in us and never complain about that. So much incredible power in us, and sometimes it seems that there's so little power going out of us. Now listen, you have the power to work out your prayer time. You have the power in you right now to work out and follow the Lord and serve the Lord. You have the power in you. All you have to do is work it out to be fishers of men. I mean, think about it. God involves us in the work in our lives. I'm blown away by that. You know, Jesus, remember at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. But before he said that, he said, you roll away the stone. Remember that? See how they're involved in the work of God? See, that's how it works. God says to do this, we do it. We're involved in the work of God. We're achieving his purposes. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, what happened? Loose him. Let him go. Take off those old grave clothes. Did Jesus do that? No. The saints of God did that. See, and that's what we're to do. When you look at Matthew 10 and Luke chapter 10, remember the 12 went out. Jesus said, okay, I want you to go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, heal the leper, and so forth. And then in Luke 10, the 70 went out and to do the same thing. See, we're just obeying the Lord. We're working out our own salvation. We're doing what God wants us to do. Listen to this scripture as I close. It says in Hebrews 13:20, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, yes, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, listen carefully, make you complete, bring you to your ultimate conclusion, which is Christ's likeness. Make you complete, it says, in every good work. Why? To do his will, not your will, not my will, his will. Here it comes, working in you. Think about it. God is working in you today. He's working in you tonight, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight. How? Here it comes. Through Jesus Christ. That's our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever, it says. Amen. Listen, who would not want God working in them? You know, I can't imagine someone who doesn't know the Lord, and you say, I don't want God working in me. Well, you know what? You need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to be saved. Amen? Loved one, listen, Philippians is a great study. Chapter 1, Christ is our life. Verse 121, remember, for me to live is Christ. In chapter 2, it's verse 5, let this mind be in you which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So Christ is our example. In chapter 3, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Oh, gnosko, that's intimacy, that I know him intimately and the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. And then when we get over to chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 13, the Lord, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen? Christ is our strength. He's our life. He's our example. Loved one, listen. God is working in you right this minute. Let him work. Be obedient. If he may take you, he'll take you on an adventure. He already knows what he already created you for good works. Amen? Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, somehow, some way they made sense out of what I said this morning. I seem to be rambling, and I hope that's not the case. But, Lord, you know my heart, and you know the words that have been spoken. Oh, Father, work in this church. No, work in your church. Oh, God, bring Calvary Chapel, bring us all to the ultimate conclusion, which is Christ-likeness. Let us change the world, the city, the state, the nation. Oh, Lord, work in us and let us be obedient. We love you. We praise you for this word this morning in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? We're going to close with a song. If you're a first-time visitor, we're going to be departing over to the main lobby. There's a free gift waiting for you over there. I hope you come and claim it. And if you need prayer, I pray that you will just remain seated after the song, and someone will come and pray for you. So you guys help me out this morning as we close out with the song. God is so good. Jesus. He's so good. I love him so. Thank you, Lord. He's so good. Yes, he is. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Have an awesome week. Amen.